Hey, everybody, this is the April edition of Think Global, where we like to say here, the world is our home, and where strangers become friends and friends become family. Good to be back with everybody. And John, man, within just a few hours, we're going to jump on an airplane and fly to Greece.
We are.
Yeah.
I'm excited.
Yeah. It's going to be a good time there.
It is going to be great. I'm really excited to see familiar faces, new faces.
Yeah.
It's a new country for me. I've never been to Greece, so very excited.
Yeah, actually, I have transited through Athens. I think I left the airport once, but I'm looking forward to spending about 10 days there. First, with my bride, a little bit of vacation time on Santorini. I hear that's a bucket list for people. Why not go to Santorini? And, you know, I was thinking like, hey, beach vacation. Little did I realize, Santorini, like, that's a, you know, the end result of a volcanic eruption thousands of years ago. And the beaches, well, I think I've found two beaches there. And, you know, not what we're used to in the Gulf of Mexico or other places around the world, but it's going to be fun. It's a lot of old villages, amazing streets, whitewashed buildings, blue domes, Mediterranean. So it's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Looking forward to that.
Beautiful, world famous sunset.
Oh, yeah.
So you got to check that out.
Well, I actually got a hotel where I can watch the sunsets.
Wow, you live well.
Oh, well, I don't know about that. But, you know, it's better than fighting a crowd.
That's so true.
Anyways, a little getaway for just a few days
before
we go and connect with a lot of our friends who will be coming from all over that part of the world just to be together.
I look forward to seeing you there.
Yeah. All right. Today, we're going to talk about something fun. It should be fun.
We're going to make it fun.
We're going to make it fun.
We're going to take this topic and flip it on its head a little bit.
Yes, we are. Because, you know, we're going to look at the subject that people are isolated and lonely. But we do want to take a positive twist of that. And, you know, there's a famous saying that, you know, if you desire friends, then be a friend yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And the idea is all of us want friends, but few of us intentionally cultivate friendships.
Mm.
And so, you know, on a podcast like this, the thought that I have is that we have the capacity, first of all, by proximity, to initiate and intentionally create friendships in our own little worlds. By that, I mean geographically, our own little world, like our neighborhoods, the towns where we live, the cities where we live, the places where we go, actually. But also with technology, we have this incredible capacity that generations before us never had, and that is to connect with people globally.
Yeah.
And all it takes is intentionality. And, you know, I hope by the end of this time, we can say there is a richness that comes from that. A richness that comes from just being a friend and reaching out. So again, with the idea of this podcast, the world is our home, where strangers become friends and friends become family. That, you know, it drives home the point of intentionality.
Yeah. But we don't want to err on the side of assuming this is easy.
No.
It's not easy to do this, especially now. We're going to dive into some of the what's happening around this epidemic of loneliness in just a minute. But it's not easy.
Yeah.
And it's easy for us to say, oh, the world's our home, where strangers become friends and friends become family.
Yeah.
Isn't that great? Isn't that lovely? And it is great and it is lovely, but it isn't easy.
Right. So it takes work.
It takes work. And so we're going to talk about that intentionality and the work behind it. But first, let's dive into, if you've been living under a rock, maybe you don't know what's happening in the world around loneliness.
Right.
But most people know there's a million articles about this. There's a million podcasts about this. But let's just dive into some of what's happening just so we get all on the same page. What's happening in the world today around loneliness and isolation?
Right. All right. So I have a chart, a graph in front of me that one of our team found, which I appreciate. And it actually addresses specifically how Americans spend their time. Mm. Now, I was really fascinated by this. And that is, okay, we all get 24 hours a day. That's it, right?
Yeah.
We get 7 days a week, 365 days a year. All right, so, but 24 hours a day. Let's just assume the healthy ones out there, like we're getting 8 hours of sleep a night. With 24 hours a day, That means we have 16 hours awake every day, again, depending on our sleep patterns. But we got 16 hours awake. And in this study, it's people over the age of 15. So over the age of 15 until, you know, until we no longer are alive. What I was struck by is that on average, people who are alone daily are alone, this is the average, between 8 and 10 hours a day.
Wow.
Which that was staggering to me to see. Like, on average, a person out there, I mean, you're going to work, you're going to school, et cetera, but they're alone 10 hours a day. And I guess the point I would make is being alone 10 hours a day, it can easily lead to isolation, loneliness, a disconnectedness, and tragically self-absorption. Like, it's, you know, you're just absorbed in yourself.
Yeah.
And so anyway, that's the premise of what we're talking about. Yeah. So let that launch us.
And what people don't realize is how that's detrimental to our health. That's what the studies are coming out now. Right. And that's what people are starting to realize. That's what a lot of these articles are written on, is this epidemic of loneliness. And like, why is it an epidemic? Because it's actually harmful to our health. And
right.
So if you look at the odds of premature mortality, so the odds of dying early,
right.
Your lack of social connection, i.e. loneliness, has a higher rate of premature mortality than things like smoking 15 cigarettes a day, or drinking 6 alcoholic drinks per day, or physical inactivity, or obesity, or things like air pollution. These are all the things that lead to premature mortality, but lacking social connection is actually the top of the list.
Yeah. And you know, that I think, you know, it just, it's in my brain right now, and I need to say it, you know, because of our worldview, you know, we're going to say that we are image bearers.
Yeah.
We're made in the image of God, and we are image bearers, and He made us for relationships.
Yeah.
He made us in a context of the need for community. And so that's what we're talking about. So the lack of that is detrimental, first of all, to our health.
Yeah.
And I would say to so many other areas of our lives, the fact that we are alone that much. All right.
Yeah.
So let's jump into this.
Okay.
Where do you want to start?
Have we laid a good foundation for the epidemic that there is? I mean, maybe one thing that we read was that this is from Johns Hopkins University, that socially isolated older adults have a higher chance of developing dementia than their peers. Social connection, this is a quote from the Hopkins University paper, social connections matter for our cognitive health. So just the health benefits of being socially connected, not to mention our worldview benefits of being socially connected. And so there's a lot going on in the world around loneliness, and people say, oh, it started with COVID. Well, I think COVID exacerbated it. The pandemic exacerbated because we were forced into some loneliness, but this has been growing over the last decade or so.
Right. And actually, you know, the older you get, the more you read about, like, what is life like after work? Mm. And I will say, you know, a lot of the readings I've done, you know, as you look to the years ahead, is that one of the greatest challenges, especially for North American retirees, is not do they have enough money to keep them going?
Hmm.
The question is, do they have enough friends to keep them healthy?
Hmm.
And so that's a reality. But I was challenged by, again, the research that our team did, and it comes from Cigna, global health insurance company.
Mm-hmm.
And here's what they said. Now, this is shocking, all right? Young adults are twice as likely to be lonely than seniors. So like we look at those who retire, those who grow older, and there is this real reality that people are lonely when they get older.
Yeah.
But based on Cigna's research, 79% of people between the ages of 18 and 24, 18 and 24, like that's like the last year in high school, that's your years in college, that's when you would assume people have a lot of friendships. But 79% of the people in that age group, 18 to 24, feel lonely today. In comparison, seniors who were saying, like, yeah, there's a loneliness that they experience, only 41% of those over 66 feel lonely.
Hmm.
So we're not talking about a generation reality just for those who are getting older, but we're actually talking about a reality for those who are young. And it is a staggering problem.
Yeah.
This whole thing of isolation and disconnectedness.
Right. It's a staggering problem, but let's talk about what we've observed and seen around the world where it's not lonely.
Right.
Where what we're seeing happening in these articles, and we're seeing happen play out in people's lives, in some cases, we're not seeing it around the world. So like one story I think about was like living overseas. So these people we talk about, we're going to visit in Greece, and even my time, I lived in China for a few years. We had the opportunity to live intentionally with one another, with other people who were living overseas, working, and we were on a team together. And that gave us some intentional community, gave you a reason to be with one another day in and day out. And what I found was when I transitioned back to the U.S., I had been spoiled.
Right.
By connectedness,
right.
Living overseas. So as we travel and we visit some of our colleagues globally, they're actually living in some of the richest community
right.
imaginable. And right. So now, is it perfect? No, of course not.
Right.
Problems arise all the time, yeah. Right? But that's what happens when you live in community.
Right.
You have to navigate challenges with each other. You have to be honest with one another. Sometimes feelings get hurt, but those are all risks worth taking for the sake of community
right.
and connectedness.
Yeah.
So I found living overseas, if I think back to the last 10, 15 years of my life, living overseas was the richest community I'd ever experienced.
Right. And I would say that, you live that in an intentional community.
Yeah.
But also, traveling globally, what we do find is that so many other cultures are established on community. Like, we do a lot of work with governments around the world. We negotiate contracts with governments and partnerships with universities, et cetera. And what we have found is that it takes time to build relationships. Like in our culture here, you strike a deal, you sign the papers, and you move on with little care for those that you actually are working with. Whereas in other cultures, it's a weekly, a monthly, it's an annual effort and intentionality to build relationships, because relationships are everything. And so that's a global phenomenon that I love. And that is the sense of relationships that people have in those in other parts of the world, where their community is a very big deal. So much of their life revolves around community. And one of the things that came from the U.S. Census Bureau is that in our country, we tend to say that we don't have time for friendships because we are busier. And I was fascinated to see what we're busy with. And obviously we'd say, well, we're busier with work. Yeah, we do work. And sometimes we work long days and long weeks. But when they listed where we're busier, they spoke of, yes, work. But we're busier because of the demands on our time. And some of those demands are in the form of distractions. And the distractions also are social media and those things that we stream on devices, either in our home or in the office or whatever. And so we have cluttered our lives with a lot of things that take us in the opposite direction. They deplete us. And they isolate us rather than bring us in the context of community. And so, yeah, we're busier, but we're busier maybe with the wrong things instead of being busier with the things that do matter and make a difference in our lives.
Yeah. And, another thing I've observed cross-culturally is the communal sense of people being with each other. Like, we've seen this in a variety of cultures, but like at the end of the day, everybody's done working, the sun's beginning to set. People don't just go back to their homes and hole up for the evening and come out the next morning to go to work. They're in parks. They're hanging out with one another. They're doing things together.
Right.
And so it's really cool to travel and see that sense of belongingness that you find globally. We don't do enough of that here.
Right.
We do some of it, but we don't do enough of that.
Right. All right. So here's what we're saying, I think, today, and that is that we do face a challenge.
Yeah.
And the challenge is we're too disconnected. We choose to be alone rather than to be with others. We allow work, we allow devices, we allow entertainment to be a distraction in those areas. And so what we're saying is, let's be intentional in our friendships and those kind of friendships that really bring richness and depth to our lives. It helps us. It helps our heart. It helps our mind and how we think. So intentionality is a big deal. And again, back to the saying, those who desire a friend should be a friend themselves.
Yeah.
And that takes that intentionality. We've got some great quotes that I think would help with this.
Yeah.
That really bring us to what we're actually after today. You want to read the first quote there by Dietrich Bonhoeffer? That's a good one.
Yeah, I love that.
It's about balance.
It is.
Yeah.
It's kind of long. Let me read it. It says, "Let him who cannot be alone beware of community. Let him who is not in community beware of being alone. Each by itself has profound perils and pitfalls. One who wants fellowship without solitude plunges into the void of words and feelings, and the one who seeks solitude without fellowship perishes in the abyss of vanity, self-infatuation, and despair."
Yeah, that's balance, right?
Yeah.
Like, we need others, but if it's only about others, like, we're going to be out of balance.
Right.
So there's this whole principle of being with people, but also practicing a valuable solitude.
Yeah.
And solitude alone, you know, turns us into people we don't want to be either.
Right.
So we just need that balance in life. I like a quote by Aristotle, which is this. He says, "Without friends, no one would want to live, even if he had all other goods."
Hmm.
Like, what are we pursuing? And I think the advice there from Aristotle would be pursue friends.
Yeah.
Like, you can have everything in the world, but without friends, we're lost.
Yeah.
So anyway, one other quote there that I think is rich.
Yeah, it says this: "What should young people do with their lives today? Many things, obviously, but the most daring thing is to create stable communities in which the terrible disease of loneliness can be cured."
That's right. That's
create
right.
communities.
That's right.
Yeah. Pour into people, build friendships, be intentional with people.
Yeah. All right. So look, let's talk about intentionality.
Okay.
Like, this is where I wanted to go with this podcast, and that is that intentionality is what it's going to demand on all of our parts. Like, intentionality in our own little world, where we live, our proximity, our geography, but also intentionality globally, and how do we connect with the world? How can we engage with people in other cultures? And again, we've been given the gift of technology for that. But here's the challenge, I think, on a practical level. Some of the greatest lessons I've learned in life are lessons that I've received from people 20, 30, 40 years older than me. Think about this. Think about a young couple, married for 2 years, hanging out with a couple, married for 40, 50, 60 years, and the wisdom they gain and the friendship that brings richness to their lives, a model, an example. Just to navigate what life is all about and to be inspired by those who've been there and done it and gone before them. So that intentionality to be with people and to have that kind of friend. There's a lot of examples like that.
Oh, yeah. And I think it takes a sense of boldness to get out there and find those people. And I think people aren't willing to be as bold as maybe they should be, or there's a lot of fear that comes in, fear of rejection,
right?
Like, oh, I'm not going to make the friends that I want. So you shy away from it because you're afraid of being rejected, and that's fair. And rejection may happen,
right?
But you move on to the next group and you try to build right. friendships there. And also, I think it requires a ton of patience,
right?
Friendships don't happen overnight, and they don't happen typically in the very first conversation. Sometimes it takes a conversation and a conversation and a coffee and a go get a meal and, over weeks or months
right.
to build some deep friendships with people and begin to break out of that sense of loneliness. So I think patience and boldness are things that people sometimes forget are part of the equation.
Right. And we've been given the places to find and cultivate friendships. Like, think of the fact that we do have neighbors. Think of the fact that we do have colleagues at work.
Right.
Think about the fact that we go to a church where there are people sitting in front of us, behind us, beside us, who also desire friendship. So we've been given the gift of places to find friendship, and it just takes that intentionality to the initiative to be a friend. Let me throw out this analogy. a lot of us take being healthy seriously. Mm. Like, we go to the gyms, we take our walks, we eat well, we exercise. We're committed to it because we know it's good for us.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we have forgotten how good friendships are for us and the need that we have and how that is good for our health, our social health, our physical health, our mental health, the health of our heart.
Mm.
It's the need for others because, again, as image bearers, we've been made for relationships. So the big idea today is intentionality, friendships. We need it for our good and for the good of others.
Yeah. Well, and I love that final analogy of relating it to our physical health.
Yeah.
Because that, I mean, we had not talked about that and you just brought that up, but I think that correlates so perfectly because it takes effort to get out of bed and get to the gym because you care about your physical health. It takes effort to go to the grocery store and buy the healthier foods and cook those foods because that's healthier than eating out every day or going to McDonald's every day.
Right.
Those things take intentionality. They take effort. They take sacrifice. And I'd say the same thing about friendships. It takes intentionality. It takes effort. It takes sacrifice to build friendships.
Exactly.
And break out of loneliness.
Yeah.
Great analogy.
All right. And with that, we want to encourage everybody to take one step in the right direction of bridging the chasm of isolation to enjoying the beauty of relationships with other people. We were made for that.
Yeah.
All right. All right. So with that in mind, we have to open up the window and let you look into the next podcast. We're excited next podcast in May to interview a young couple who has actually taken this seriously. We just want to whet your appetite for it. So, John, tell us a little bit about the couple we're going to be interviewing.
Well, I don't want to let the cat out of the bag too early, but I think they're living out the theme of this podcast.
Right.
Where the world is our home, where strangers become friends, or friends become family. And we're going to learn a lot more about that from them, ask them some good questions, hear their heart and passion for what they're doing around the world. And I think they're trying to break through what we talked about today of this sense of global loneliness. I think that's part of their story. I think also part of the story is building and forging friendships globally and trying to break down barriers or walls, whether they be political, ideologies, religion, whatever it might be. I think they're trying to live a life that breaks down walls.
Right. All right. And I'm going to add a teaser. I just want to add a teaser. All right. We have about 195 countries in the world. And folks, all right, they're in their early 30s, I think. But here's the teaser. They have made it their goal to visit every country in the world. And so far, they have made it to 154 countries.
Something
that is mind-blowing. Like, that is like off the charts, crazy, fun, adventurous. So we want you to meet that couple next month. We invite you to come back for that. It's going to be a lot of fun meeting them, chatting with them, and just hearing their hearts about how they have come about this pursuit of intentionally being in every country of the world.
Mm.
I think it's going to be a great podcast. This is, again, Think Global, where the world is our home, where strangers become friends and friends become family. John, we'll talk next time.
All right.